It is Teacher Appreciation Week, and I love this. Before I worked in radio, I worked in education. I was a paraprofessional, but you know, no matter what you do in the work of education, it's important. It's an important role, and now as a parent who needs to figure out a gift for Teacher Appreciation Week, it's important to give back as well. Right now, I'm speaking with Becky Pringle, who is the president of the National Education Association. The NEA is the country's largest professional union. It represents 3 million educators. Becky, first of all, thank you so much for speaking to me. Second, what do I get my son's first grade teacher? A Dunkin' gift card feels like too little, but a bottle of wine feels like an overreach. What do I do? It feels like you'd be the expert.
Thomas, it's good to be with you, and you're just making me smile. That is the problem you are trying to solve. And I hope that you are joined by parents and community members all over this country, knowing that as we lift up this particular week, that it is that time to let teachers know, and all educators know. John, thank you for the work you did being a paraprofessional, because this week I'm lifting up everyone.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. It takes all of those caring adults in our classrooms to provide our students with what they need and deserve. So this year, John, what we're doing is we're focusing on that appreciation, showing up as action. So whatever your gift you're thinking about at all, usually it comes with a card, right?
Yeah.
So whether your child is making a homemade card, we love those, or you're buying just a beautifully written poem card, whatever, with a card, this year, take action to show your teacher that you're taking action. What we're suggesting is, how about going to our site, writing a note to your member of Congress, demanding that they fully fund our public schools, print it out, fold it up and put it in a card, and let your teacher know not only that you appreciate them, but you're taking action to help bring funding into their schools.
Now, I love that. That is, oh, wow. I see that. That's a lot of fun. I see what you did there, Becky. Now, thank you for bringing that up. Actually, because, you know, it's funny. Here in Connecticut, you know, we just passed a budget over the weekend. It did include a lot more money for education funding, which is great here in Connecticut. And some people argue that it should be more. Some people argue that it should be less. But it's good that our state is making that a priority. But talk to me nationally. What are the major struggles that teachers are facing right now?
Well, you know, there in Connecticut, a couple of things. First of all, as this current federal administration continues to take funding from our public schools, funding from our students with disabilities, funding from our students who live in poverty, funding from taking food out of the mouths of babies. I mean, it's shocking, quite honestly.
Sure.
Some of our states, like Connecticut, are standing in those gaps. But they will suffer, too, because you have to make decisions about the money that's not coming into your state. Connecticut is actually an example of a state that's doing fairly well when you think about what respect looks like for educators. For them, when I ask them, what do you mean, I just want to be respected, well, for them, it means, of course, having a salary that reflects the important work they do. It means that they, as education professionals, make the teaching and learning decisions for their students. It also means that they have enough resources in their classrooms to give their students, to do the jobs they love and give their students what they need. In Connecticut, you rank like sixth in the nation, but even there, when you add in inflation, we have lost in terms of what our average salaries are. And so this country has so much more work to do to not only be able to attract teachers and education support professionals, but to actually keep them in classrooms and work sites doing the work that we know our students need them to do.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? And I love that you brought up the respect issue as well, because, you know, that was something, honestly, that I saw in the work that I did working in, you know, the Westport public school system for many years. It was about 7 years. Funding will always be something that is so essential. And, you know, teachers need, first of all, salaries. We need money into the classrooms. We need school supplies. We need funds available to give the teachers the resources to just focus on the work. But there is a little bit of a respect issue. Can you talk about about that? Can you talk about a culture that some people have noticed, and I've spoken to other people in the education, you know, business who bring this up, of, you know, parents beginning to kind of overstep their bounds in terms of involvement in the classroom? Maybe overstep's the wrong word, but can you talk to me more about that?
You know, John, I taught eighth graders the wonders of science for 31 years. Mm. And parents were my natural ally. I couldn't do my job without parents, for sure. And we have been partnering with them in a much closer way, an intentional way, because, you know what, they care about the fact that not only their child, but all children have the funding in their classrooms that they need. So we work very closely with them. What we're seeing when teachers talk about respect is that people who haven't spent a day in our classroom with a student are making teaching and learning decisions for that student. That's not okay. That's what education professionals do. That right has, in some instances, been taken away from them. We are.
Are you talking about parents there specifically, or is that also on the administrative side?
I'm talking about policymakers.
There you go. Okay.
Elected leaders, and, mm-hmm. and yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
Sure,
and
sure.
They're passing policies that are directing teachers to do this or teach that, or policies that focus in on testing our students from this narrow place and using money to do that and not thinking about that whole child. Those are policy decisions that impact with our students are able to come to school ready to learn every day. So that that responsibility being taken away from them. But I also would say this, you know, John, as I said, I've been doing this for a long time. I have never seen teachers under attack, directly under attack, by an administration who doesn't care about them as professionals and not only threatens them, but takes the resources away from them. When teachers talk about respect, that's what they're talking about.
Okay. Well, there it is right there. It's Teacher Appreciation Week, and if you are wondering what you can do for a teacher, who better to listen to than the actual president of the National Education Association? Becky Pringle, I really appreciate your time today. I appreciate you giving me some ideas for a gift as well. I am definitely going to take the one you gave me at the beginning of this interview under consideration. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, John.
You're listening to The Voice Connecticut WICC. This is The Download.